Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This week's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Thank you very much. If you haven't already done so, you may be seated. Because I'm kind like that. Excellent. How's everybody doing?
Blessed.
Good. Right then. Going to have a quick recap, because it's been so long since we were together in this building. It must be at least 2 weeks. Okay, so you're going to have a quick recap. And Pastor Shane introduced the theme of Christian, it's not what you think. And here we are on part two. So, the term Christian, nowhere in the Gospels does the term Christian come up, and three times in the New Testament. I'm reading from the New Living Translation that sometimes renders the word believer as Christian to make it a bit more contemporary-like, but in its original translation, it doesn't appear the word Christian, only three times, okay? So, we were being told that Jesus didn't come to make Christians, with whatever that means to people. You know, you sign your name on the electoral roll and say, what religion are you? People that, I don't know, really, Christian, that'll do, yes, tick that box. And so there's all kinds of thoughts as to what a Christian is. And I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room knows the true meaning of what it is to become a Christian, as we like to term it nowadays, knowing Jesus as our Saviour and as our Lord. And then we were introduced to that scary word. Can anybody tell me what that scary word was?
Disciple.
Disciple, yes. That has a whole new, different type of meaning, to be a disciple. It's even got it in its in the word itself, discipline. Do you know what I mean? It's the same kind of root word. That's what a scary thought, to be a disciple. Yeah. Right then, we're going to have a list of scriptures that's going to wonderfully appear on the screen. Thank you again, Angus. And Pastor Shane, one of the scriptures he brought was John 13:35, or I think he did anyway. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Yeah. Okay, you be a disciple through love. That's the big game changer. Okay, that's the proof. The proof in the pudding. The proof in the eating of the pudding, etc. Okay, a disciple is a learner, a pupil, and obeys their master. The obedience word. Okay. Okay, and again, Pastor Shane was explaining that in the world, in its wider context, the people of the world, the perception that is taken by non-churched folks isn't always a very generous one, shall we say. People have negative thoughts about what a Christian is. You know, are they, you know, they can range anything from hypocritical, judgmental do-gooders who have a list of things that they don't do because they believe in a thou shalt not God. And one of those things is thou shalt not have any fun in any kind of measure or shape whatsoever. Now, of course, we know that some of that is banded about by the enemy, and he can get into the media and portray that kind of image. But we also would have to put our hands up and admit that the church sometimes hasn't done itself any favours in that regard either. Okay, so we can sort out the latter, as in the church's way of bringing about a negative image of itself, by being the kind of people that love like Jesus did. Now, I don't know about you, but that certainly is a very high call when you think about Jesus, let alone dying on the cross, all the other things that he did for us as well. What a high call to love like Jesus did. He said that before he went to the cross. And then after he went to the cross, you're thinking to yourself, wow, how can I love? How can I measure up to the same kind of measure that Jesus showed? But it's got to be a thing that is done via the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to be able to do that. Otherwise, we haven't got no chance. Okay. So we believe that we discovered something that is absolutely phenomenal when we come to Christ. Okay, he helps us in every aspect of our life.
Yeah.
He helps us in our relationships. He helps us in our profession. He helps us marriage. He helps us, you know, he can bring us peace. He can bring us a purpose in our lives. Don't look at each other like that, girls. All right, your time's coming. Okay, right. He can help us to break habits, restore broken relationships, etc. Yeah. Those are the kind of things that God does for us. What a fantastic message. That's why it's the gospel. That's why it is the good news.
Yeah.
And we need to get that out to people. People need to understand that it really is the good news. We find out in our lives it's the good news. I certainly have in mine anyway. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Right. So too many people think that they can't join the church because, hey, they're too bad. You know, I couldn't do that. I've had people say to me, I wouldn't walk into a church, so all the Bibles might walk out. I've got no idea what they're talking about. But what a funny thing to say. But anyway, that's not the way it is. You know, it wasn't that. That is not the intention that Jesus had for church. And we're going to turn to the first scripture in Luke chapter 5. Let's see what the master had to say on the matter. 31-32. It should be turned to already. Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call sinners to turn from their sins, not spend my time with those who think they are already good enough." That is the good news. That was the good news that came to me and came to you. For those of you who weren't brought up in a Christian family, you know, somebody told you about the good news and said, "Hey, God accepts me as I am. He won't leave me the way I am, but he accepts me as I am. And I can be his son, I can be his daughter." Jesus was the Holy One. And yet prostitutes, swindlers, rough diamonds, thugs, terrorists, whatever else you want to call them, felt comfortable in his presence. Quite a dynamic that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Quite a dynamic that the Holy One of God could hang around with people from all kinds of different backgrounds in life, and they felt comfortable in his presence. Yeah, his presence changed their lives, all right. Would have probably challenged them to the core of their being. But, you know, they came to him. I wonder why that was. Well, in fact, I don't wonder. I know why it was. And I'm going to tell you what it was. Okay? It was because they felt loved when they came to Jesus. You know, if you go somewhere and you know that you are loved, if you know that you are accepted, you're going to feel comfortable in that place. You know, my lads, they'll come up and they'll give me a hug. They might not hug you so readily. Perhaps they might. But because they know that they're going to get accepted by me. They know they're going to get accepted by their mum. So they want to come for a hug, which gets less and less as they get older. But let's not go into that.
Yeah.
You know, they feel comfortable in doing that because they know that that love is going to be reciprocated. We know where I'm going with that, don't we? They got the love that they yearned for, just like some of us found when we first came to Jesus. People are drawn to love. Yeah. And that's why we as Christians need to love, and we need to love those that don't know God as well, so that people can be drawn to Jesus. And we need to love each other so that we can get that atmosphere. Oh, why does the phone always ring when I'm preaching? Anyway, right, thankfully Jesus' mission wasn't to condemn, otherwise we'd be all at the creek, would we not? And it's not our mission either. You know, we're not to be just a bunch of do-gooders that condemn people for this, that, and the other. It's not what Jesus did. It's not what we should be doing. Okay. So Jesus didn't condemn the woman who was caught in adultery, the story of the missing bloke, as we like to say. He didn't condemn the woman who was caught in adultery. And he said to all the people that were there, let him who's without sin, let them cast the first stone. And if we're going by that measure, everybody else would have left. There would have been just Jesus standing there, and he could say, "Oh well, everyone else has left. I guess it's down to me." You know, it would have put a bit of a different angle on the story. When it older down, lads, sorry, love is for your own good. But thankfully, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to judge. And he set her free. He said, if they don't condemn you, I'm not going to condemn you either. But he did point out, go away and leave your life of sin, or sin no more. Okay? Although he knew she was a sinner, she knew she was a sinner. You know, he had the grace there. He knew why he'd come to the world. That was to forgive sinners. He knew that he was going to die for her. I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to set you free. Go away and sin no more. Wonderful, wonderful story. Okay. Because we're all afflicted with that same thing, aren't we? The sin. I was thinking, wouldn't it be an awful thing if suddenly on the screen appeared Steve's darkest moments on the DVD? I think I'd be leaving the building. And it would be the same for every single one of us, you know, if the DVD came up. Paul's darkest moments on DVD. You know, I'm sure we'd be all there rubbing our... No, we wouldn't be rubbing our hands at all. Do you know what I mean? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? But thankfully, God has erased that DVD. It is gone. It is no longer in existence. We cannot buy it from the DVD store or Love Film or anything else. It is gone. It does not exist. Excellent. Okay, we need to make sure our doors are open for all, which is quite a challenge. Okay, quite a challenge. Not all are going to take up the offer, but everybody should be given a chance.
Yeah, that's good.
Right, the secret is, let's not judge people until Jesus has had a chance to work upon them. Okay? Because none of us would be able to stand that kind of test. It's a challenge. Don't shy away from people that we think, nah, they're going to be too bad. They're not going to want to know about the gospel. Let's not shy away from people, okay? You never know who is going to want to receive the message. We think about people like Mary Magdalene, or people like Peter or Levi. Would have been despised in the life that they were leading when Jesus came to them and said, come and follow me. And he accepted them, yeah?
Yeah.
We've got to be those kind of people.
That's right.
We've got to be the kind of people that show God's love. Sometimes it's a bit tricky. I've been working with some lads over the past week. And just sitting down having a nice cup of tea, and one of them sparked up a conversation about their dad's dirty movies and started going into big detail. And I was thinking, okay, this is getting a little bit too much for me now. So didn't say anything. I thought, I'm not going to judge, I'm not going to condemn it. But I did. I just had to get up and walk away, you know. Sometimes it's tricky for us believers, isn't it? You know, we've been washed in the blood, but we forget where we've come from.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps once upon a time, that might have been me joining in with the jokes or whatever. But thank God Jesus has done a work within us, and that kind of thing,
amen,
you know, becomes a little bit kind of,
come on,
our ears don't like it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we've got to be able to learn to try and turn and steer the conversation. I know what I'm going to say tomorrow. I'm going to say, what do you do for the weekend? Then I got you. All right, so, yeah, but you know what? We've got to be careful that we don't judge. We've got to remember where we have come from. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:19, I have become a servant of everyone so I can bring them to Christ. He becomes all things to all men that he may win some. And that's what we're about. Doesn't mean that we join in with the sin, doesn't mean that we join in with what would lead to condemnation. But hey, we've got to try to relate to folks so that we can bring them to Jesus, becoming all things to all men, that we can win them. It's something that the disciples had to learn. So John the Beloved, it's quite a funny title, isn't it? Quite an old title. John the Beloved, he wasn't always John the Beloved. Him and his brother James, once upon a time, they wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans. We're going to flick over the page into Luke chapter 9. Here he was. I imagine him as a bit of a hothead. Let's see what he had to say. So they'd gone in and they were going to go and preach the gospel. And Samaritans didn't really want to hear, because they were coming from that place of prejudice. Samaritans didn't like Jews. Jews didn't like Samaritans. So they already had their prejudices. So Jesus, he came to bring the good news. Let's get into it. When James and John heard about it, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we order down fire from heaven to burn them up? But Jesus turned and rebuked him. You don't realize what your hearts are like, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So they went on to another village. And that's the trick, that's the story. We're preaching the gospel to people, we're talking to people about Jesus. They don't receive it, you walk on to somebody else. You don't judge them, you don't condemn them, because you know that Jesus has come to save lives, not to destroy them. So you move on. I think that's kind of funny. It's he gave those two lads the nickname. I like it. The Sons of Thunder. You know, I wonder whether that's where he get it from. Oi, Sons of Thunder, come on. Get and serve communion for us, would you? You know, I can imagine the other lads, Sons of Thunder. It's kind of funny, you know, nicknames that Jesus gave to his disciples. It must have been fun following Jesus. It is fun following Jesus. Okay. So there he is. We're going to take a look now into 1 John. This is the same guy who once upon a time wanted to call down fire on people. And let's listen to the tone of what he has to say in these next scriptures. He's a changed man now. Life has changed him. He's been with Jesus, been walking with Jesus for the majority of his life now. And we can see the change that Jesus has made in his life. It's going to come up big now. Thank you, Angus. I'm going to read it off of here just in case mine's slightly different. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love God, to love each other. Let's read that again, because I got it wrong. We surely ought to love each other. Could we just leave that last part up, Angus? Thank you very much. All right, so if we go through the history, John has seen all of his mates. They've all been killed, so he's the only disciple that is left now. The rest of them have all been martyred. Some of them have been thrown off the temple. Peter's been crucified upside down. Paul, he's had his head chopped off, etc. So he's still preaching this message that God is love. Do you know what I mean? He's not been dissuaded from it in any way, shape or form. Historians reckon that they also tried to kill John. They tried to boil him alive, but God miraculously kept him alive. No frying tonight. Okay, he's been exiled, he's been mistreated, but he's still saying that same message. He is convinced and he knows that God is love. Now, we're looking at that verse 11. Surely we ought, and that word ought, so I'm reliably informed, is like a legal term. And it means that we are in debt and we owe it to God to love each other. That's good, that, isn't it? You know, we ought. There's a debt that we owe God to love each other. It's talking specifically now about us as believers, us as disciples. Okay, the challenge is, do we? Do we forgive when we've been hurt? Do we watch each other's back when we need to watch each other's back? You know, do we cut off gossip about one another when we hear it's being said? Do we defend one another? Okay. Do we seek to meet a need when we can see that there is a need that needs to be met? These things are love put in action. Okay. And if we're doing those kind of things, people are going to know, yeah, they're Jesus' followers. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, more than miracles, more than anything else. You know, he didn't say if you perform miracles all over the place, then people are going to know that you're my disciples. No, it was love. Love was the message. Love still is the message. It means that even the saints that really get on your nerves, you got to love them. What, even that one over there, Lord? Surely not. Surely you don't mean I got to love Harry, do you? I said Harry. I don't think there's any Harrys in the building. Okay. Yep, yep. Even them. You've even got to love them. Oh my goodness, so there's no excuse. And read the verse earlier. Love each other just as I have loved you. That is the mark of a disciple. The question is this a fluffy kind of love? I think we all know the answer is no, it's not. Okay, the love that we have for each other isn't an anything goes type of love. Does it mean that we don't ever challenge anybody's behavior within the church? No, it doesn't. Okay, so it just depends whose behavior it is that we have to challenge. Okay, so Paul, when he was writing, he had to address this question to the Corinthian church because they had some serious issues that were going on, and we're going to read about them. Right, here we go. Verse 1 to 5. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something so evil, even the pagans don't do it. I'm told you have a man in your church who is living in sin with his father's wife. And you are so proud of yourselves. Why aren't you mourning in sorrow and shame? And why haven't you removed this man from your fellowship? Even though I am not there with you in person, I am with you in spirit. Concerning the one who has done this, I have already passed judgment. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are to call a meeting of the church, and I will be there in spirit. And the power of the Lord Jesus will be with you as you meet. Then you must cast this man out of the church into Satan's hands, so that the sinful nature will be destroyed, and he himself will be saved when the Lord returns. Wow, what a thing. So the story goes, there's a man in the church, he's doing the wild thing with his dad's wife. So that's not his mum. It could have been that the fella had several wives, like they used to in those days. Don't recommend that, boys, okay? So don't get any ideas. It could have been that his dad had married again. Okay. But these were the kind of things that were going on. You think about it, you kind of smile and think, surely not, surely not. But yeah, apparently this was going on within the church in Corinth. Christians behaving in such a way. And Paul, you can hear it when Paul's writing, he can't believe it. You know, he's in shock. You know what I mean? So that would be pretty shocking. That's not going on here, is it? No, okay, that's good. Pretty shocking stuff. Pretty shocking stuff. All right. And we're all thinking to ourselves, how do we get that balance? You know, we're not supposed to judge. And yet Paul's saying that he's judging. Okay, and he kind of goes into this a little bit more. We're going to flick over, well, I'm going to flick over the page, you might not need to. Verse 9 to 12. What I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. And here's the big but. Don't go there. But I was talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, or who are greedy, or are swindlers, or idol worshippers. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. What I meant was that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worship idols, or is abusive, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Don't even eat with such people. So Paul's saying, not my job to judge the outside world. A church, it's not our job to judge the outside world. It's not our job to criticize, to say, you shouldn't be living like that. They're not living within the light of Christ. Whereas we as believers are. Okay? So, yeah, we can make judgments on those who are within the church, but we're not to have a judgmental kind of attitude. It's a very subtle thing, really. Don't have a judgmental attitude, but yeah, there are times when we've got to wrap each other over the knuckles. I'm sure we've all, at one stage, being who we are, people who are not perfect, been told, I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. Do you know what I mean? And that can go from little things to bigger things. But, you know, it is the job of leaders within the church to bring people back into line. You know, that's what the word of God is there. God's brought his word to bring us back into line as well. It's good when we rebuke ourselves sometimes, and then nobody else needs to. Do you know what I mean? Let's line ourselves up with the word of God.
Yes.
It's not my job to police those outside the church, is what Paul is saying. But we've got to keep our own house in order so that when people look inside and they can see, yeah, wow, what a people they are. You know, I'd love to join with those people. I want to have part of that. Okay, so we've got to remember there's that subtle difference between having a judgmental attitude, which doesn't turn people towards you, and bringing like a sound judgment that brings correction so that we can live holy lives for God. Okay, a disciple comes under the family rules of the Heavenly Father. Here's an example for you. It's not my job to make sure your children do their homework. Okay, it's my job to make sure my children do their homework. Actually, Sharon takes care of that department. She does a very good job. Love you, Sharon. Okay, but we can get the illustration, can't we? Do you know what I mean? It's not my job to look after your kids. You look after them. And that's the way it is with us in church. We've got a Heavenly Father. And, you know, it's our job to make sure that we're sorting out our own homework, living out what the Bible says, okay? Right, it's not love to let somebody destroy their life or the life of a church, come to that matter, through sin, etc. Just as Jesus rebuked his disciples, sometimes a slap is needed. Not literally, but you know what I mean, don't you? Love and discipline. Tough love fits us out for an eternal reward.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to be so grateful for those things when we can look back in the light of eternity and say, ah yeah, I'm glad that rebuke or that reproof came to me at that time. It helped me get back on track. It helped me to get to where I'm supposed to be, and now I'm living in eternity because of the goodness and because of the fruit that I was able to produce because of what God has done through that discipline. Now, it's a very strong words that Paul used there when it talked about handing over to Satan. You think to yourself, what on earth does that mean? Apparently, I'm reliably informed that it means you make Satan your parole officer. Think about that. Making your parole officer. So you kind of, you hand it over, in other words, it was put out of the church. And sin has a corrupting effect on your life. So just like when the prodigal son, his dad let him go. And once sin had done its thing, he came back to God. He said, yeah, man, I can see what a mess I've made out of my life. You know, I'm going to come back. I'm going to go back to my father. It's so much better to be back in my father's house. I'm going to tell him I'm not worthy to be his son. We can see the effect that sin has on people's lives. And if people were put out of church, that was the desired effect on people. In fact, if we read 2 Corinthians, he says to them, let that man come back in now. Now we've seen that you know, he's been repentant. We can see that now he's been put out of the church and he's truly repented. You can bring that man back in. Love lets go and love takes back as well, no matter how low you've got. And that was Paul writing. He was the guy, same guy that wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter all about love. Love is this, love is that, love is patient, love is kind. The same one who wrote that, wrote those verses as well. So we know it's all about love. And it's not just a soft thing, you know. Love can be tough sometimes.
Yeah.
And we need that tough love. And we've no problem with that. So the question for us today is, are we up for the challenge to love like Jesus did? To love like Jesus does. To love like Jesus will. Okay? And here's some questions that I want us to think about. Do we need to forgive any kind of resentment, any kind of bitterness that we might have towards a fellow believer? Just getting really practical about it. You know, is there anything that we know God's been putting his finger on, and perhaps we've been resisting him a bit? And this morning you think to yourself, yeah, sometimes it's hard to love that specific individual or that specific individual because of what might have gone on, because of whatever circumstance, or just because you've got a personality difference. Who knows what it is? I don't know your hearts. Only God can know your hearts. Do you need to try a little harder with Mr. or Mrs. Awkward? I don't know. You tell me. Okay. No, don't tell me. Tell God. All right. What can you do for a believer that has a need? Let's get practical about these things. You know, you know that there's a believer who's got a need. What can you do? How can you help? You know, love. Love. What does it really mean? It means action, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What can you do to love on a believer this week? I just want you to think about that for a while. What can I do to love on a believer this week? And another thing to think about, who is it that needs to hear this fantastic message that we have got of love and acceptance? Who is it that you can see is crying out for that kind of love in the world outside us? And they don't yet know Jesus. Remember, the worst of sinners often makes the best of saints.
Yeah.
And if they won't listen, you move on to the next one, yeah? You share this great message that we have got with them. Okay. We're going to pray now, so you can close your eyes. Yeah, I kind of like what Faye did the other week. She said, I know that we're all believers in this place, and that's a shame, which it is. But I'm going to do a gospel appeal anyway, she said. And I like that. It's kind of prophetic, you know, because we want to see people coming to know Jesus in this place. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
So I'm going to do that as well. And I'm going to pray for us as well as believers. So yeah, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, hey, He loves you. You know, all this communion, all this thing that we're doing here is because we find Jesus has been the best friend that a man could ever have. You know, and He wants to come into your life. He wants to set your life straight. Any problems you've got, you can bring to Him. Any relationship problems, He can sort out. Any dark things that have happened in your life, He can wipe that out. Just like He'd wipe clean the DVD of my life and all the past mistakes, He can do exactly the same for you. All you need to do is to turn to Him and ask Him, Lord, please, yeah, wipe my DVD clean as well. I accept You as my friend. I accept You as my Lord. I accept You as my Savior. And I want a fresh start with You. And He will hear that prayer. And He will honor that prayer. And for the rest of us as believers, yeah, Lord, I want to pray that You're going to give us the strength to do the things that You've been speaking to us about. Lord, only You know our hearts, Lord God. And I pray that none of us would be stubborn, Lord God. None of us would hold back from You where You've been gently speaking to us about certain things that we've been either withholding, whether they be forgiveness or anything else, or if there's something that we should be doing for a believer that we know, that Lord, we wouldn't hold back, that we be those people that love as You have loved us. And we know that we need Your strength to do it. We thank You, Lord, Holy Spirit, for the power to be able to do that. And Lord, I pray as we leave this place this morning and as we wrap up, that You would just empower us to be able to love as Jesus did, to love with the love of Jesus. Thank You that You don't leave us on our own, You don't leave us as orphans, but You have given us Your Holy Spirit to empower us to live the Christian life, the true Christian life, the life of a disciple, the life of a believer. We give You thanks, we give You glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.